Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for today's webinar, IRAs and Energy Investments, Expert Advice and How-To, featuring Eckerd Enterprises. Before we get started, we do have to read a brief disclaimer. The Entrust Group does not provide investment advice nor endorse any products. All information and materials are for educational purposes only. All parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys, accountants, and financial advisors before entering into any type of investment. On today's webinar, we'll be introducing Entrust and Corey, Introduction to Minerals, How to Do Research and Due Diligence, Why to Use an IRA, How to Get Started, and at the end, we will have Q&A time. My name is Tony Uncle. I am a business development manager at the Entrust Group, and I will be your host today. I have been with Entrust for a little over 4 years now, and we take pride in educating investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts. The Entrust Group, a little bit about us. We have a little under $5 billion assets under administration. We have empowered over 45,000 investors, been in business 40-plus years, and the Entrust Group provides one single point of contact for your IRA for all your questions and needs. A little bit about the Entrust Group. We are self-directed IRA administrators. We have a knowledgeable staff, many with the CISP designation. We have nationwide offices that fit the needs of the nation. We hold in-person and virtual webinars. We provide a continuing national education program for other credentials, and we hold a biannual IRA academy. What is a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is a retirement account in which the individual investor is in charge of making all investment decisions. Self-directed IRAs provide greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of your traditional stock, bonds, and mutual funds. All securities and investments are held in a retirement account administered by a regulated custodian or trustee. Now we'll turn it over to Eckerd Enterprises and Derek Long to learn about oil and gas mineral rights available real estate asset. Derek?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. So guys, my name is Derek Long. I actually do not work in the oil and gas industry or anything like that. I'm an active real estate investor and an active oil and gas investor, okay? So a little bit about myself real quick is I have a lot of expertise actually in the self-directed field, all right? I've seen well over 100,000 different self-directed IRA investments. I speak at multiple different IRA custodians. I also get the privilege of every single quarter going to Congress and talking about very certain tax code and revenue code or court cases. The most recent court case that everyone was talking about was McNulty versus Commissioner, which I actually got to be a part of, which was very unique. I presented at Congress on both Secure Act, Secure Act 1.0, which is what I'm just going to label it as, which was complete junk and trash, all right, to the 2.0, which is very pro Roth IRAs, all right, guys? So as we go through this, right, I just want to get a little poll kind of for the room and let me know where you are, all right, and try to keep this interactive. I promise I'll get to every single question that pops up, whether it relates to self-directed IRAs, real estate investments, investments that I've seen, Roth conversion aspects, UBIT, UDFI, doesn't matter, or what the main focus on today is going to be talking about mineral right or oil and gas style investing. So just a quick little poll that's going to should be popping up here is how familiar are you with mineral rights, right? And the oil and gas industry, you know, A, yes, you already have some investments in this space. No, you have no reservations or not applicable because you don't have an IRA. If you don't have a self-directed IRA, I highly recommend setting up one immediately with the Entrust Group. Okay? They have pretty much, what you guys don't realize, have forefronted this across the board for everybody. They really have. And people don't realize that, but behind the scenes, what ultimately happened is the Entrust Group actually helped franchise self-directed IRA industries back in the early 2000s. So any self-directed IRA custodian, you can thank the Entrust Group for them actually laying the foundation, right? So with that being said, guys, now that we got through the poll questions, what we're going to do is I like to try to break down what are the ways to actually invest into the oil and gas industry, right? And I noticed that everyone kind of has these misconceptions. And so I broke it down to two different categories. If you want to invest in oil and gas, category one, I'm going to label as working interest. Working interest could be you're investing in the drilling equipment or something like that, a little bit more hands-on, maybe investing into a pipeline of some sorts, anything along that line. The other way is mineral rights. So we got to separate these two because many times people only invest in the working interest side. So let's talk about what that actually means. If you're investing in working interest in oil and gas, this is very risky. It's high risk, but man, is it high reward. Remember, I've seen over 100,000 plus investments in self-directed IRAs. Knowing that, I've seen people invest $50,000 and literally in a 2 to 3 year time span, that $50,000 has grown tenfold to $500,000. That is very common. But for every single deal I've seen that has grown that exponential aspect, I've seen that same person lose 100% of their capital. So understand if you're going to invest in something like a pipeline or working interest, which is where 90% of people actually invest in oil and gas, right? It's very risky, but very rewarding, okay? Because it's so risky, you do get these very large tax deductions. Well, if you're going to get these large tax deductions, if your IRA does it, you don't get to claim it. And the IRA is already considered a tax-exempt trust under IRS Revenue Code 408 little a. If you guys know that joke, haha. So knowing that, right, you get these large tax deductions, I argue maybe it's not the best way to use a self-directed IRA. You don't want to miss out on those, okay? Once again, this is the most common way people seem to invest, right? Because it is so common, because of the very large tax deductions Congress allows, you get a lot of scam artists. And it sucks. It is so sad to see, right? But there is a lot of scam artists actually in this area. Why? The tax deduction side is actually dollar for dollar. If you invest $1, the IRS and Congress will give you a $1 tax deduction. That sounds pretty attractive. So what happens if I'm the fancy guy, I'm raising capital for oil and gas, you invest $50,000 for me, hey, you get a $50,000 tax deduction. But I just took your money and ran away to Mexico. Believe it or not, this happens all the time. More than 60% of all people raising money for oil and gas actually will fall into the scam artist aspect. What they did is they raised capital, but they never actually started the drilling interest side or the pipeline side. So I actually teach a whole class on how to do due diligence on that aspect. And it's really looking up the serial numbers to make sure what you're getting is correct. Now, on the other side of the fence, we have in mineral rights. Mineral rights is actually very low risk. Why is it low risk? Is it's actually a hard asset. You own something very similar to real estate. Remember, I'm a real estate investor. I currently own rentals and notes. All right. And if I do this and you have a hard asset, it's very easy and you're able to track it. You know exactly what you're getting before you purchase it. So this is why I like minerals. There's a problem with it, though. Mineral rights are a finite commodity. Not everybody even qualifies. You do have to be accredited typically to invest in minerals, A. B, if you're even in the cases where you don't need to be accredited, there's only so many mineral rights available to be purchased. So a lot of times, if you want to invest in minerals, you actually have to be added to a buyer's list, right? We'll talk a little bit about that buyer's list later on. Now, What is considered an oil and gas mineral right? First off, remember, it is considered real property, meaning you actually have a recorded deed and title. Remember, if you're investing in a working interest or something like that, or if you're investing into a syndication like an apartment complex or a storage unit, you don't actually have any of those recorded documentation. You put money just into an LLC or an LP, and that's it. So it's nice to see that you actually have real ownership. Okay. Next is the rights are these not the surface rights. You buy a mineral acre. So you're actually buying an acre of land, but it's not on the surface. This is going to be below the surface, typically about a mile deep or further. All right. There is a bunch of different types of mineral rights, but we're going to focus just on the oil and gas stuff. Next, you as the mineral right owner are not liable for any of the drilling. All right. You're not liable for any of the exploration, the production, the environmental impact, right? Or most importantly, you're not reliable for any capital calls. You as the mineral owner are not liable at all. You have zero liability risk. So this is a very unique aspect to if you can be a mineral owner, all right? It's very passive. No matter what state you own your mineral rights in, you end up actually with a percentage royalty of all the gross income that is produced, and you get paid on a monthly basis, right? Just like real estate, you can actually own this, meaning you can buy it, sell it, trade it, right? And it can be sold very easily. It's actually a lot more liquidatable, just like as if you're selling a piece of land. Knowing this, you can use a 1031 exchange to buy mineral acres, or you can use a self-directed IRA to invest in minerals. So using one of these tax advantage accounts really does seem to make sense. Lastly, is I cannot stress this enough that mineral rights are actually at the top of the food chain. And what do I mean by that? Before the oil company that drilled and pulled out oil, before they're even allowed to market and sell the oil, they have to pay you, the mineral owner. You receive the very first check. You receive the first distributions. You're at the very, very top before Exxon, before BP, right? So knowing that, I want to be in a space where my tenants, is what we're going to label them, is a big oil company like an Exxon or a BP. Once again, don't forget, the acre you're buying is not the surface rights. You now have air rights, which actually came about in 2008, which is very unique. You have surface rights, which is what a lot of real estate investors are familiar with. And then you have the mineral rights way beneath the ground. Now, if you're going to own some form of mineral right, all right, and it's below the ground, it still follows the same rules as real estate, all about location, right? And we get this, right? If you're a real estate investor, you hear it all the time, location, location, location. So we don't want you to just buy mineral rights in any random area that is located. So what you really want to do is find minerals where there is proven concepts, where there is already the big oil companies drilling and pulling out oil. This way, it secures your aspect. As an example, just looking at this map, the state of Arizona, there is no one drilling in Arizona for oil. Why? They haven't found any. Simple as that. Doesn't mean it's not there, but there isn't any big basins, is what we're going to label it as. And you can see the two big ones that I circled up there, the Permian Basin and the Anadarko Basin. Now, there's a reason why people like to invest in these, and we'll talk about that as we kind of go through the presentation, right? But just like real estate, it's all about location. Now, every time I go through this, the first question I get is, hey, Derek, but what happens if the market is saturated already with oil? Or what happens if we run out of these oil commodities? Well, guys, if we just look at an old map, which is something like this one right here, the top map is what you see was really done in the late 90s, early 2000s. And all those little circles you see on the map are where they believe there was oil and gas. The bottom map is a lot more accurate in where they're really looking at nowadays. So what a difference 30 years can make if you're just looking at the oil and gas industry. Knowing this, guys, why was this? Why do we see such a drastic difference in 30 years of where oil and gas is? Technology. Realize that if you're going to be investing your money, you want to know they have the most up-to-date technology to find the best aspect of use for gas, oil, minerals, water rights, all sorts of things, right? With that being said, we're going to keep going and try to figure out, well, why were oil and gas mineral rights not available as an individual? If I'm an individual and I'm looking really truly to invest in the oil and gas market, right? We see that all the time. We see that you can easily invest in working interest, easily invest in a pipeline. They're all over the place. You can just Google that, and that's the first thing that pops up. So why have you probably never taken a class on minerals? Well, first off, technology absolutely wasn't really allowing it. Right? It was very difficult to figure out, well, how much do we pay a mineral owner? Not only that, how much of those minerals are actually being produced on a consistent basis? Remember, if we go back just 20 years on the oil and gas industry, they mainly focused on what was considered to be vertical drilling. They drill a hole, they go straight down in the ground and hope they hit oil. But they don't do that anymore. Now, sorry guys, I love my coffee. Now they do what they call horizontal drilling. So they drill down and they turn and they go in every direction, right? This way they get the best use out of it. So as a mineral owner, now we have a much higher success rate, more than 95% success rate to make sure that people are actually getting paid and owning the proper mineral acres. So that's really what you want to be understanding that, hey, this, sure, it's kind of always been available, but people haven't really wanted to give it up. Next, right? The exploration side. Once again, we have way better technology nowadays than we've ever had in the future. So if I know we have way better technology and I can actually go forth with these and figure out, hey, I know there's oil in here. What do we do? How do we go ahead and actually pull that out of the ground, and what companies are involving that? And as of right now, they estimate in between $1 to $2 trillion worth of oil and gas just in those two basins that I circled on this previous screen. That's not why, though, you've never actually invested in minerals. I don't care who you are, right, or what you're looking at. It's the big gorilla in the room, Wall Street. Wall Street actually fights against people like Intrust. They don't want you to have a self-directed IRA. They don't want you to invest in alternative assets. They would rather have you keep all the money in those Fortune 500 stocks, those mutual funds, those annuities, right? Why is that? Because that's where they make their money. But groups like Intrust help you set up a self-directed IRA to invest in alternative assets. Today's class is about the alternative asset being mineral rights and oil and gas. But Intrust holds all sorts of classes in every other topic. Interested in Airbnbs or rentals or fix and flips or notes or multifamily or storage units? These are all alternative asset classes. If you can take your retirement account, your old 401k, your IRA, your Roth IRA, and get it out of that market, get it out of those public assets, and start looking at the alternative side, the rates of returns you'll see will drastically change your life. That's the benefit of using a self-directed IRA. You got to get away from the Wall Street guys. You're not going to get rich doing that. You're not going to become wealthy doing that. You're not even going to be able to create passive income. So knowing that, let's also talk about acquiring minerals and how does it balance with traditional real estate. Remember, I am a real estate investor. I had actually hard time transitioning from owning rentals, owning, doing fix and flips, and I primarily was actually doing notes. I started off being a private lender, and I like to lend my money for things like fix and flips. So if I acquire minerals, how does that balance with traditional type real estate? Well, minerals do not have any type of holding costs. The biggest issue me and my wife are struggling with right now is we have a rental that is producing, on average, $500 a month in cash flow. That's pretty nice. Right, that's after what I'm going to consider basic expenses, such as paying for the property manager and paying for things like extra expenses, such as the AC unit went out. But that $500 a month in cash flow is not even covering our insurance and our property taxes now. Man, I got to cash flow a lot then, right? Just to be able to go ahead and get past that point. So that's insane, right? Mineral rights actually have zero capital calls. A lot of people right now are very interested in investing into the syndication market. This is those guys that raise capital for a multifamily, raise capital for a storage unit, raise capital for a senior living facility or anything along those lines. Well, the dangerous in those is a couple things from something called UBIT or UDFI to be proper, right? And capital calls. You have zero capital calls and zero exposure when owning mineral rights. Next, they're held in perpetuity. No one can come in and foreclose on them because you didn't pay a property tax or something along those lines. Remember, if I don't pay my property taxes on my property for any reason, I now have to pay a MUD tax on top of the property tax here in Texas. It's ridiculous, right? Well, I don't have to deal with that. My minerals are held in perpetuity for me, right? Lastly, is you get actual real cash flow every single month. Every single month. One of the biggest things that you want to look for in owning alternative assets is, do they pay me on a monthly basis? If they say no, I argue that you should probably be looking elsewhere. I want an asset that pays me every single month. This way I know the money's hitting my account. I know the money's there. right? And if I choose, I can reinvest it now at that point in time. So look for things that pay monthly cash flow. Mineral rights is one of those. If you buy notes from a lot of hard money lenders, that's another good option right there, okay? So let's talk about the passive income thing. When I first started in this business, I used to think that owning a rental was very passive, right? I used to think notes was extremely passive as well until I had to go through my first foreclosure. So I argue, how can real estate truly be passive if you're liable for things like management fees? Management fees being the property manager, or if you try to be your property manager yourself, boom, you're no longer being passive. The tenant improvements. On a consistent basis, there's always going to be something wrong with one of our rentals. And we only own four of them. We just sold one, sorry. So you got your property taxes, you got repairs, you got maintenance, you got operating expenses, you got insurance expenses, right? What happens when you have a vacancy, right? What about the exposure to the cash flow and distributions for the rent, right? Something like what happened during COVID, where COVID came and many places, the government said, hey, right now your tenants don't have to pay rent. They have never done that, nor can they do that if you own minerals in the right areas. Things like what we labeled earlier was that Anadarko Basin and the Permian Basin, big areas in Texas or Oklahoma. So these are things you want to look for. Once again, guys, use the Q&A box, use the chat box, and let me know if you have questions as we go through this. So we're going to go ahead and pop up another question for you. True or false? Mineral right owners are not liable for the drilling. We're not liable for the exploration. True? False? True? Answer is true. Yay. You guys are awesome. Thank you for participating. So remember, guys, if you're a mineral right owner, you don't have to worry about things from a, honestly, exploration side, a drilling side, a liable side, right? You're not liable for any lawsuits, and there is zero capital calls. It's a huge advantage to using mineral rights. So once again, if I want to buy minerals, I want to make sure I'm investing my money in the most passive income way available. And I argue that is the mineral rights side. I really do. So remember, there is no cost to you once you purchase them. And you buy them per acre, right? We're going to show what that looks like here in just a minute. Once you buy every acre, you get a monthly distribution. Not bad. So now that I'm receiving this monthly check, I don't actually have any management fees. You're not paying a property manager on a monthly basis, annual basis. They don't need to find new tenants. They don't need to go through any of that. So you have zero management fees. This means you also have zero ongoing expenses. Zero. I love that. Remember, no property taxes, no liability, no capital calls, no equity sharing by no means. All of these things right here are the reasons you should be investing into mineral rights. All right. So let's go ahead and figure out what does an investment look like. And then we're going to tackle why have almost none of you on this call. Dang, there's 50 of you. High five to you guys taking time out of your day right during the holiday season to go ahead and get educated. You know, I appreciate that, and I applaud every single one of you, and applaud the interest group as well. Just give them a comment, send them an email, and say, hey guys, thanks for hosting the class, because this is their holiday season too. So let's go ahead and figure out what does an actual investment look like. If you look at an investment, this is what you think of. You think of these big oil rigs that go up and down, and that is not mineral rights. This is working in pipelines. That's what that looks like. But actually, when you invest into a mineral right, what ends up happening is the state typically will help put together and then what I'm going to call a mineral package. And a package will typically look something like this, and it will be 100 pages long, right? And during this, these packages, notice there is, in this example, 500 acres available. And you can see here, they'll point out exactly where everyone's drilling and where you're receiving oil. And there's a whole class on how to read the maps, and so you know what is going on. So what I like about this is the first thing we want to look at once you receive one of these packages is, hold on, let's see. Need to drop for a 2:30 call. Aw, well, no worries. Hope you join back later. So overall, guys, if you're looking at these, right, this is what comes up. The first thing you want to look at is the producing wells. Notice the minute you buy one of these 500 acres, in our example, you have 39 wells already producing, already that immediately have to pay you a royalty interest every single month. When do you get paid? Every single month. But that's not just it. You also get to have the wells that are being created right now. Now, the wells that are being created are going to be newer with the best equipment. Believe it or not, as these wells are drilled, they're going to produce more oil and gas than the 39 producing ones, just because they have the newest and best equipment out there. Lastly, is you'll see something that shows you the amount of wells that are in a permit status at the state level. Hey, these wells have applied for a permit. So all this looks really good. This is why the minute you do an investment, you start receiving income and you can help track it. It will, as you go through the mineral package, you'll see it says, hey, this is the oil company for each one of those wells. It should give you the serial number for every single well out there. But ignoring the mineral company, you can just look up on the state level. This is a great way to do your own due diligence, right? But all of this sounds so great. However, this is all that's available, is the net mineral acres of, and we're just going to round it and call it 500. So the real problem and the real reason most people have never invested into this space is an average acre is selling for between $10,000 and $12,000 an acre. So once this package becomes available, right, all that happens is they go right down the buyer's list, right? And they say, hey, buyer A, how many acres do you want? They're 10,000 an acre. Here's the mineral package for your due diligence. You have 24 hours to decide. Buyer B, buyer C, buyer D. And once all the acres are gone, they're gone. That is it. There is no getting into this mineral package. You actually have to wait on average about 30 to 60 days for another mineral investment to become available. So what happens if this was 10,000 an acre and a guy comes in with 5 million bucks? Boop, it's all gone, all of it. And remember, this is passive income you receive monthly on already producing wells and new wells that will be coming online. So a lot of people will actually put several hundreds of thousands of dollars in these and just receive these royalties on a consistent basis. So this is the real reason people don't typically teach these classes or talk about it, because it is very difficult to get into. It really, really is, right? So remember, every time you invest into some form of mineral rights, you are not liable for anything. And I can't stress that enough. You are the first person paid. You don't have to deal with any capital calls. But Derek, on your previous slide, you said there were 500 acres. What happens if they're not drilling on my acre? What happens if then I don't receive any income? Doesn't work that way, guys. And I always like to just put this picture up here, but back in the 90s, right, and even early 2000s, they really only focused on what I'm going to call as vertical drilling. They would take a well, they'd put it on an acre of land, and they would drill straight down. But now they don't do that. Now they drill down. If you notice, then they drill sideways, right? So now that way they can get the most bang for their buck. Well, if that's the case, what happens is the state says, hey, especially like in the Anadarko Basin, they say, look, we got to put all these minerals in the same package. Why? It wouldn't be fair that they're drilling on acre A, but they're not paying the mineral owner in acre Z. So they put them all in there. That way it's a what they call a pooling aspect. So no matter which acre you own, you receive the same royalty interest. And that's due to that horizontal drilling. So make sure if someone is telling you, hey, we're going to invest, and what we do is we deal in what they call vertical wells, run. All right. That's a thing of the past, man. Those vertical wells are old and outdated. You want to be looking for things from a horizontal basic, okay, aspect. If you would like to be added to the buyers list, there is a phone number up there. You can send me a text. It's 832-840-1161. That's not my cell phone, but that will just say, hey, add me to the buyers list and we can get that done. All right. It'll ask you for your first name, last name, and I think email address is what it does. It pops up pretty quickly. All right. In addition, you can send me an email. Email me any questions that you have. I'm already seeing text messages come in. I'm impressed, guys. That was really fast. So email me any questions that you might have about that, about self-directed IRAs or honestly, just investing in general. Lastly, is guys, I love these poll questions. So we're going to pop up some more polls and then we're going to get to the Q&A side. So right now I'm interested in investing into minerals because why? You want the passive income? You want the real land ownership? You want diversifying? You want all of the above? You better say all of the above, right? All of the above, everybody. So guys, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into some of these questions. Karen says, hey, is there a minimum threshold acres that one must buy, or can you buy fractional acres? No, you do have to buy them per acre because they're already fairly cheap. An average acre of minerals is actually only between $10,000 to about $15,000 an acre. So you can't just say, hey, I want to buy half an acre at, you know, $7,000. Doesn't work, guys. So you do got to buy them per acre. Love that question. Why aren't the big oil companies buying up all these mineral rights? Awesome question, Frank. So there's two reasons. First off, in certain states, the big oil companies actually aren't allowed to own the minerals, right? They can only own one or the other. You can be on the working side or the mineral side. But that's actually not the real reason. The real reason is, unrelated back to real estate, it's just not their game. It's not what saves them the money. They don't want to deal with it and the hassle of it. Think of it like as if you are either A, buying an active rental, right? You're buying that turnkey rental. Or are you going to buy the land to build up the rental? Well, both these are a great investment strategy, but one person is here selling the land. They might sell the land to the apartment complex guys that are going to build up the apartment complex. That's the same thing. It's just not what they're looking for. It's just not their asset class. That's a great question, Frank. I love that one. So really just think of it from that standpoint is A, it's just not for them. Once you buy the rights, what is the expected life of the investment and returns? Awesome. So this depends on which mineral section, right? Whether we're talking about the Permian Basin, Anadarko Basin, right? Because every package will have their own life expectancy. The one that I showed there on the screen had about a 50-year life expectancy that you will be receiving royalties over that time frame. Can it last longer? Can it last shorter? Sure. But they'll give you a rough estimate. So for that one's 50 years, but every single package is completely different. Remember, there's only so many acres available. Are these typically tied to revenue driven from mineral extraction? Yes, they are. They're not only are they typically tied, they're 100% tied to that. So this is why you want to be buying minerals in areas such as the Anadarko Basin. You want to buy those minerals where there's people that are there's already those producing wells that are pulling out money, right? That is the proven method. Right? This way, you're not worried about that. Good question, guys. Keep them coming. Can you talk about what happens when I want to sell those rights in the future? Does companies like Eckerd handle the resale? So Eckerd doesn't, but Eckerd does offer an app that allows you to sell them. The app is very similar to like an MLS program for a real estate agent. All you do is you list your acres for sale, right? And you say, hey, this is the acres. Here's the due diligence packet. And Eckerd will give you the due diligence packet for you if you're looking to sell them. Right? And then you get to choose your price. Sometimes you might want to sell them for a higher bracket. Sometimes you want to sell them for a lower bracket. This is honestly up to you. But there is just, it's pretty much like an MLS for agents. Right? Keep them coming. Can you talk about what happens when I want... Can you talk about what happens when I want to sell those rights in the future? Do companies like Eckerd handle the resale? Oh, sorry. I think I already tackled that one. How does investing in mineral rights compare to owning bonds with Phoenix Capital? So the bonds with Phoenix Capital are not real ownership. I label those as something along the lines of like investing into an LP. You have zero ownership. As a matter of fact, you only invested into a company. Ask them, where are those minerals drilled? Can you get the serial numbers to where those wells are located? Can I get to see what oil companies are there? You got zero of that. Ask them if you can turn around and sell it and liquidate it quickly. Unfortunately, Phoenix Capital doesn't allow for that, right? Lastly, is they are a newer style company, right? Phoenix Capital has only been around for about 3.5 to 4 years. Now they have a lot of experience, but Eckerd Enterprises has actually been around since the 90s. And people have been investing with these group with Eckerd Enterprises since that point in time. So you want someone with a proven track record. Now, Phoenix Capital does offer immediate returns as well, but those returns aren't liquidatable. So I'm not talking bad about them by no means, right? So love that. You said there is existing production. Why would existing mineral right owners allow other investors to pretty much buy them? Well, in these cases, most of the time, this is why it's so hard to get into the mineral spaces. Once someone owns them, they don't want to release them, right? So when do they get released? Honestly, typically at times of death, right? So Grandma and Grandpa owned 20,000 acres in this area, right? Well, thank you, Grandma and Grandpa. Someone made us an offer for $20 million. Well, boom, they don't look at the future production. They're looking at the $20 million today. And a lot of times that's why people buy up the minerals or sell the minerals. Very rarely are people selling minerals, though, in these large packages just because of any other reason outside of maybe A, they need the money, or B, someone passed away and left them. You said the first investment is a large one. Is that guaranteed? The first investment. When you're saying the first investment, I'm going to rephrase that. I'm not asking, saying that your first investment, like how much you're investing. Your first check you receive is a large one. Yes, the reason that is, and I like that you said guarantee. Anytime someone's saying guaranteed or something like that, they're guaranteeing something. The your first check will be your largest check up front. This is because it is usually 3 to 6 months worth of royalties that have built up, right? Remember, there's certain things at the state level that have to be filed before you are then recognized as the new mineral owner. Eckerd Enterprises takes care of all of that for you. Well, during those that 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you're still receiving royalty income, but they haven't been sent to your mailbox yet. Ah, the state finally recognizes you as the new mineral owner. Guess what happens? Boom, you now get a check for all the previous months prior. So that's what's really going on. That's why your first check is so large. And so I hope that helps, Anthony. What if no oil is found on your acreage? So Rick, that is why you invest only in very specific basins, such as the Anadarko Basin, right? It is not 1 acre. If we go back to that package I showed you, those 500 acres, it doesn't matter if you own acre A, or acre Z. All those acres have the same royalty interest, the same net royalty from that standpoint. This is because of, remember, the horizontal drilling. They don't just drill on your acre. They drilled 1 acre down. Sure, they drilled on that acre A, but then they drilled horizontally. So it wouldn't be fair for whoever owns acre Z not to receive the royalties. That's why they're put into that package. And they call it a pooling aspect. So it doesn't matter which acre you own. What are Eckerd's fees? None, right? So there is no consistent or annual fees to anyone that's an Eckerd partner, all right? So good question. What is the income difference between 1 acre and 100 acres? Ah, so this is very tough to determine because this all depends on the package, right? But overall, whether you own 1 acre or 100 acres, the percentage is the exact same. The amount you receive obviously just could be different based off it. On average, the first 15 to 18% of every barrel of oil that is pulled out of the ground first has to be paid to the mineral owner. So remember, it doesn't matter which acre you own, right? You still receive your 15 to 18%. If there is no fee, how do your companies make money? Great. So remember, Eckerd is not my company, but love the question. But what happens is those 500 acres that I showed you in that package a while ago, well, that 500 acres has to be bought in cash up front, right? So since it has to be bought in cash up front, right, that buying aspect is actually about $20 million. So believe it or not, Troy Eckerd, the owner of Eckerd Enterprises, goes and buys the $20 million himself, writes a check. Boom, now he owns it. So what he does then is he'll keep $5 million worth of those acres for his company, right, which is actually what keeps the company going based off the royalties. The remaining $15 million worth actually then is open to the partners. Now, I'm just using those numbers as an example, right? But that's where then the partners can come in. Well, notice Eckerd already has to manage and accept the checks and go through all that aspect. So there is no extra work on their side to actually just receive the checks and forward them on to you. That's it, outside of postage. So how does Eckerd get his money back right away so he can buy another mineral package? Right. Well, he opens it up to the public, opens it up to you as the accredited investor. This is also why If you choose not to buy them, no big deal. This is also why you have to be put on a buyer's list. They are very selective on who they sell their minerals to. They don't need your money. They're not raising capital from those standpoints. So, good question. Let's see, Michael. I have working interest in oil with a Roth with interest. Good job, like the Roth IRA. I understand that there is a five-year wait to tax-free withdrawals. I receive monthly income from Gulf Western interest. Are the tax-free withdrawals reset with each month or from the original year of the investment? No, they are not reset. All right, so first off, that five-year rule is 5 years from the time you started any Roth IRA, okay? So whether if it's the Roth IRA of interest or you did happen to have one somewhere else, you may have already satisfied your five-year ruling, first off. Second of all, just because you're receiving monthly income or you do a new investment, it doesn't reset that five-year clock. Lastly, on that five-year ruling for the Roth IRA, you can typically pull out funds earlier. You just can't pull out what is going to be considered anything past your contributions, all right, or pull out anything past really your converted amount without paying a penalty. The best thing to do, Michael, is first off, figure out how much you want to pull out and then have you contributed enough to justify that distribution. You can also see this under IRS publication 590-B. I want to say it's page 31 on the right-hand side under ordering rules. So just 590-B, page 31, right-hand side, you just do control F, ordering rules, and it'll kind of walk you through that. Also page 34 should give you a easy chart for you to follow. Yes, I am that much of a dork. I repeat, kaboom, that much of a dork. So guys, that was a lot of questions. I didn't expect to get that many, so I was trying to fly through them. Remember, set up a self-directed IRA, right? Make sure you're going through the sign up for other asset classes that interest has. Tony, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add in there, but remember, if you need more information on self-directed IRAs, visit the website for interest. They really do a tremendous job. Tony?
Thank you very much, Derek. Yeah, we just have our closing remarks. What's next for Entrust? Our next webinar will be preparing IRA beneficiaries to secure your legacy. That'll be on December 13th, so please register for that. If you have any feedback or topic requests, absolutely let us know. And make sure you follow us on the socials.
Awesome. Then, any more questions last minute? Guys, once again, reach out to Tony. Have them help you set up a self-directed IRA. And if you're looking to invest in something like minerals, Eckerd Enterprises will 100% cover not only the application fee, but the transaction fee to go with it, because that is how confident they are in their investments. Now, you can email me. I am not actually the person that would add you to the buyers list, but I can make you that introduction. And yeah, Tony, that seems like your direct email. So I'm kind of done.
Yep, that's me. Cool. Thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, everybody. I always like to end on an inspirational quote. You know, learning gives creativity. Creativity leads to thinking. Thinking provides knowledge, and knowledge is actually what makes you great. The next class on beneficiaries is huge, right? It is absolutely huge and a must-attend, so sign up for that one with interest, guys. And I'll see you in the next video or next class.